Since I told Jake, I hope you all came with your steel-toed shoes on. And I say that not because I'm aiming at stepping on your toes. But the one thing I do know is that this subject is very convicting. We are talking about the battle is the Lord's. And so this is one of the greatest battles that we face. It's one of the hardest things that we have to deal with. And so, we get some special music maybe afterwards.
Yep.
And
then time of meditation, that would be great.
As we contemplate the word. So, so you know, many a war has been started because of words. Many a hurt has been inflicted, and many wounds infected by the words that have been spoken by people. World War II was started because of an unbridled words of a madman, Adolf Hitler. He espoused his hatreds and sounded off about his doctrines, and an entire nation followed because of words. Many forget the extent that World War II was fought on the ocean. Merchant marines delivering weapons, ammunition, and food across the sea were being pursued by submarines and the German Navy. Look at what happened at Pearl Harbor. Devastating. Yet all those mighty ships were controlled by a little rudder. In comparison to their overall size, we would say less than 1% of that ship was controlled by its rudder. All those mighty ships had a helmsman that was there. They steered that with that one little rudder. Today there is a battle for the control of our lives, and one of the main fronts of that battle is taking place in the use of our words, tongue, mouth. If we truly want to show the love of God, if we want to see the Holy Ghost take control of our lives, then we're going to need to learn to yield our tongues to His control and allow Him to use our words to fight His battles and stop taking it up on our own, in our flesh, and trying to use our tongues to solve problems that we're not designed to solve. If you go and you can turn to James chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, we read the following. I'm going to simply read through this passage as an introduction to our subject this morning. My brethren, that's you and me. Be ye not many masters, knowing that ye shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter of a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Can we turn the volume down on this? Or maybe I need to get rid of it, I don't know what.
Yeah, something wrong.
Full of deadly poison. No, I don't have my hearing aids in. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain sent forth of the same sweet water and bitter? And so the idea being in this entire passage is, what are our tongues achieving? What are we gaining by the use of our tongues? Every single one of us, even me who doesn't like to talk a lot, we say some things and we create problems or we heal problems. And we have to learn that if we are going to be spirit-filled, we're going to have to allow the Spirit to control our tongues, what we say, how we say it, when we say it. All of these things are absolutely essential, and yet it is a battle that goes on within us. How many of you have said something and go, oops, should have never said that? Yeah. How many of you have said something about somebody else when they aren't present and go, oops, I shouldn't have said that? You see, it's our tongues. And our tongues get us in an awful lot of trouble. And so it is there in that battle that we need to start fighting with our spirit, which wrestles with God's spirit. And we need to start saying, Holy Spirit, take control of my tongue. Let the words that I say be edifying to the body. We talked about it when we were in Galatians chapter 6, with verse 1, that we, those of us that are spiritual, need to help those that are down and out. But how do we do that? Oh, you need to get up on your feet. What's wrong with you? Those aren't words that heal. They're words. They could be edifying, but they're not healing. Because we're not allowing the Spirit of God to control them. We're allowing our selfish spirit to control it. We're allowing our plans and our techniques to work instead of the work of God. Ephesians 4:9 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You see, we need to begin to use our tongue to build each other up and not tear each other down. Our tongues must be an avenue by which we deliver a gift to somebody. It's not a gift when you tell your spouse that they did this wrong. It's not a gift when you ridicule somebody. Words are so powerful. Our words, tongue, speech, one of the most powerful tools we have. We can inflict damage or we can administer repairs and healing. The old adage we were taught as children is not true. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt me. Huh? We say it because we want to help the children to realize that they are words. They're not really doing any damage, but they do hurt. Do they not?
They did.
They hurt bad. Parents use this phrase to teach children to ignore hurtful comments by other children, to not allow bullies to create fear or discouragement. But truth is, words do hurt. Mm-hmm. Yes, we can choose to ignore it, but most of the time, those ignored words just sit and soak and sour and taint our thinking if we let it.
Yep.
And most of the time we do. And so therefore it is so important. Don't go saying something thinking, well, it's just a word. It's more than a word. It's how you're communicating who you are to those that are around you. And this battle we must get control of. Words shouted in disputes with spouses, neighbors, co-workers, children, every single one of them has the ability to build up or destroy. What about words spoken to others, about others? Gossip. We use these words to influence others and to win friends, don't we? Oh, did you hear? You know, that ought to become a cautionary phrase that we hear. If we go, did you hear? Maybe there's a reason that they didn't hear. Maybe there's a reason they shouldn't hear. Maybe there's a reason that you shouldn't be speaking those words for others to hear. I think that we have worked very hard in this church that if somebody has a need, we don't necessarily express it or bring it to the rest of the congregation, especially I as your pastor, don't bring it to anybody else unless I've asked you for that permission. Can we pray for that? And speaking of which, we have a teacher up here on Tyron Hill, and her name is Patricia. And visited her on Saturday, and she just needs prayer as a teacher in the public school system. She is becoming very, very frustrated. And so will you please pray for Patricia? I did not catch her last name, but she is a neighbor. She's asked for prayer, and we can do that. And I asked her if I could ask you to do that. So, but we need to have this guard on our tongues all the time about what and when we say something. We must constantly be asking the Spirit of God to control us. You come to that moment. You want to blurt that phrase out. And you need to catch yourself when the water begins to boil. Then it's time. You've got to catch it then and say, Lord Jesus, help me to watch the words that I am going to speak. Lord, help me to say what needs to be said, because there are times that they need to be said. And let me not say those things that will be hurtful to my children. to my spouse, to my friends, to my brothers, to my sisters. Help me to control it. Promises made with words but never lived out or made true by action and follow through had the same effect. They were words that were spoken. The intention may have been there, but you didn't put enough intention to make it follow through. Do you know how many young people are running around hurt, discouraged, and dismayed because somebody made a promise they spoke with their mouth and never followed through? Those are all aches and pains, and yes, we should all be mature to get away with it, but you have to admit that your lives too are scarred by so many of those words that were spoken hastily, maybe viciously, maybe kindly. But they all sit there and they kind of brew. They kind of sit and fester. And sooner or later, they cause an irritation. Proverbs 10, verses 19 through 21. Proverbs 10, 19 through 21 say the following. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver, the heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. James in Proverbs tells us that we need to control our tongue. We must learn to measure our words, filter them through the Holy Spirit, and make sure they are words of encouragement and truth, not discouragement and lies. So often we step into trouble and misspeak because we can't handle silence. We feel like we need to fill the silence with words to take away the awkwardness of the moment. So here comes one of those speech issues that we deal with. Is we feel like we have to fill the thing, so we say things that may be inappropriate. You get in an argument with a friend and you feel like you've got to say something. I can remember 2009, thereabouts, I was working at US PAYCOM in Hawaii. And my job there was to take care of the flag officers and oversee the network that was supporting them. And we had times, as always with any network, we had times where things went down. And we would have to come in and we'd have to sit before the general and we'd have to make an explanation of why they went down. And we had one particular general in my time there that he was the master of the pregnant pause. You know what a pregnant pause is? That's where you just... And you wait for somebody to say something. And so we'd give him a quick explanation and he'd just sit there. I mean, we're talking about 3, 4, 5 minutes when you're in a room with a general and the pressure's on. It's like 30 minutes, I'm telling you. And he would wait for us to jump in and say something without thinking about it. Because what he was trying to do is he was trying to get down to who was to blame. And of course, you never want to throw anybody under the bus, right? And so he would wait for us to say, and then he'd track on it, right? And so that's one of the problems that we have, is we come into a point of silence and we feel like we've got to say something to defend ourselves. We've got to say this, we've got to say that. And we end up blurting out too much. You know, a few words is a point of wisdom. And not all silence has to be filled. Now, you can be like me. I have a tendency to like silence too much, and that creates a problem too. But that is also communicating, isn't it? Do I really care? Am I really listening? Am I tracking on the conversation? But we have to be careful about what we say. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. In other words, we don't always have to speak. We don't have to say something. We don't even have to make a promise. If you have no intention of following through, then don't say it. That's hard though, isn't it? And so what do we do when we have these hard things? We ask the Spirit of God to give us the strength that we don't have. Lord, help me keep my mouth shut. Right? And so this is the value. This is the weapon of choice. And we need to learn to control this weapon. We need to learn to master this weapon. We need to know how to aim this weapon. How to direct its flow. And then we have weapons of training, the right words. Proverbs 25:11 says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver." Apples of gold in pictures of silver. If you can just imagine for a minute, you have this beautiful picture of an apple. Let's just say it's a golden, delicious apple. So it's got that golden and that rose tinge on it. And it's in a frame of silver. So what does it do? These words fitly spoken, they perfectly frame the central idea of what we're trying to do. You know, when it comes to apples, I always think about when, after Bev and I first got married, we moved to Oregon State. I was going to Oregon State University at that point, trying to get a degree in horticulture, never completed that task either. But in the process, one of my jobs to support ourselves is I picked apples in the apple field. Never had done that before. Boy from Hawaii, never even seen an apple tree. It was quite the treat for me, right? Never seen a three-legged ladder either, and that's what you use when you pick apples. But I can remember, I still remember to this day, getting up into the tops of the trees where the apples were ripe. And you get up to the very top, and hearing a golden, delicious apple, if the sun hits it just right, it turns a beautiful pink right at one point. And of course, I couldn't avoid the temptation. I picked that one and said, "This looks so good." Go down and I bit into it. Oh, it was a perfect apple in the frame of silver. And so our words need to be that same thing. We need to be framing everything that we say so that we get the central idea out there. Now, we don't need all the peripherals. We don't need a cluttered picture. We don't need too many words. We just need to choose the right words to speak so that they're aptly framed. And yet, what do we want to do? Blah, 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 blah. Fill the space, fill the time, and not pay attention to what we're speaking. It is absolutely essential, if we are going to battle for the Lord, that we learn to use the right weapon. We learn to use when to put a bullet in the chamber. We need to learn to when to keep that gun empty so that we're not hurting others. We're only helping others. Proverbs 15:23-24 says, "A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. The way of life is above the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath." And so here it's talking about the fact that there is a time to speak and a time to be quiet. There's the right words to speak and there's the right time to speak. And you might have the right words but the wrong time. You might have the right time but the wrong words. And so how are we going to control all of this? That's why, you know, we're coming up to Resurrection Sunday. We're coming up to, I don't like calling it Easter because that's a pagan holiday. So forgive me if I bother anybody by referring to it as Resurrection Sunday. And so we're going to gather next week and we're going to celebrate the resurrection. But you know what? The power of the resurrection goes way beyond Jesus dying on the cross. That's not even the resurrection. That's just him paying for our sins. But the beauty of the resurrection is not just that, oh, I'm going to get a new body. That's good too. But the beauty of the resurrection is the fact that in Jesus rising from the grave, he's guaranteed that you and I would have a piece of God put in each one of us that will help us to raise up this dead spirit and cause it to grow. And how's it going to do that? It's going to do it by helping us to take control of the words that we speak, to choose the right words and to choose the right timing. Right? And so, a lot of things that you want to say are true, but it's not the right time to say them. A lot of the times, it might be the right time, but if you don't choose the right words, they become a problem also. Controlling our tongues, this battle for control of the tongue, is essential to us bringing people to Christ. How many people have you alienated in your life because of the words you spoke? The choice is yours. What are you going to do about it? Ecclesiastes 12:10 says, "The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth." So here's the preacher. And we're not talking about me. In case you don't know, in Ecclesiastes, Solomon is the author of the Ecclesiastes, and he becomes referred to the preacher. And it says of the preacher that he scoured the world, that he had riches and fame and everything anybody could have. And so he was looking for, what is the real purpose of life? Where is the real core of life? I've got riches, I've got women, I've got everything anybody could ever want, and I'm still not satisfied. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, it is vanity. What do I need to do? And here he says, the preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even the words of truth. So as we're speaking, what we need to be speaking is words of truth. Now, the best source that we have for the words of truth is where? In our Bibles. That is the one collective group of words that we know are true. Right? Their applications are true. But are we speaking those words at the right time? Here's Jesus, and he's confronted by the woman who has been caught in the act of adultery. And he could have said, well, you know, the scriptures say in Leviticus chapter and that because you've been caught it, you need to be taken outside and you need to be stoned. That's what the Word of God says. That's the truth. But the timing and the effort was all wrong, because where was the man that was supposed to go with her? If they were caught in the actual act, where was the man? You see, the timing was wrong. The truth was there, but the timing was wrong. And so we have to be careful in all of that. And I'm getting a headache trying to think, how do I coordinate all this stuff? You can't. That's why you've been given the Holy Spirit, to help you. Are you going to be perfect at it? No, because you know what happens? Here comes the Spirit of God saying, don't say that. Uh-huh. And here comes the Spirit of Rob. Oh, yes, I can. That little idiot, he needs to be slapped. Whatever. Okay, and so this is the battle that's going on. Do you see the battle going to control your tongue? The devil wants you to hurt people. The world wants you to hurt each. The world wants you to stand up and be proud. And God says, be humble. Wait for the right time. Wait for the right words. Wait for the right situation. And speak then. Don't be afraid of being quiet. If you can't speak the truth, don't speak at all, the preacher says. Not me, Solomon, right? And so we have this battle that we have to work through, that we have to gain control of, and yet we don't. Hey, in case you're wondering, I'm not perfect at this. You all probably have a testimony of me saying the wrong thing at the wrong time somewhere in the course of life, but I'm trying, and I've become more aware as this good. I mean, I was thinking about something totally different for this sermon this week. And all of a sudden, this comes in and the Lord says, that's the one. Oh. He's trying to convict me. And he's been doing that really good. And so, holding the tongue. I had a situation talking about timing. When we were in Hawaii, we were passing the church down in Wailua, which is on the north shore of the island. And we had a lot of military people or retired military people come in. And so at one point in the church's history, a man comes in and he's a mid-tribber. Anybody know what a mid-tribber is? Probably not. Don't expect any of you to. Well, mid-tribber believes that the church is going to be raptured in the middle of the tribulation period, thus mid-trib, right? And that's not where our church's doctrinal stand was. But he came in and this guy had spent 5 or 6 years studying this matter out. He had all the verses memorized and everything. And he comes into the church and he's there trying to teach the people and let them know. And he'd go up to him and he was trying to get a group together to study with him. And I said, well, he even came by me and sat down with me and showed me. And I said, well, that's interesting. Let me think on that. And I didn't act real quickly. And the reason I didn't act real quickly is I could have said something. I had enough theology to know, but I needed to speak correctly to the issue. So I finally found the time. I was working a job like I am here at that time, and so it doesn't always have the time to sit down and study when you want to, right? Finally found some time to get the studies done and went through and brought an intelligent argument against what he was saying. And it got to the point that he had influenced so many of the people in the church, I had to actually do a sermon on it. so that we got everything corrected, right? But I could have said, hey, you can't be speaking that stuff. That's contrary to our doctrinal statement. You need to get out of here. But instead, we waited and we dealt time. We had the people that got learned on the situation. We had an opportunity, and he stayed in the church. Didn't chase him off. He said, we can disagree, and we can agree to disagree. That's fine. I will not teach that here. I understand where you're coming from. And so you see, there was a time, and there's a necessity sometimes to hold your tongue. The words have to be aptly framed. They have to be given at the right time. And so we continue to learn about our need to control our tongue. Acceptable words. The words of truth. I had to wait and make sure that I was speaking the truth. How many of you jump in there and just answer? And then you go, oops. I think we need to learn to wait. Proverbs 24:26 says, every man shall kiss his lips that giveth the right answer. And that's kind of an odd picture, don't you think? Kisses his lips. But what it is thank God I didn't say that. Or thank God I said that the right way and that they were able to understand it right. And so that is what we need to do with our tongues. You can't just let that thing go rattling off at whatever it wants. You need to control it. Put a muzzle on it. In fact, I was telling Jake earlier, I says, I talked about bringing steel toes today, but maybe we need to bring muzzles and put a muzzle on it, right? So the right timing is everything. The right source. Are we relying on the Spirit of God or on the unholy spirit of Rob, Jake, Wayne? We all have that part of us, don't we? And if we're not going to yield to the Spirit of God, we're going to create more damage than we are going to help. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Let your speech be always with grace. One of the first ways that we can monitor our tongue is, am I giving this person a gift? In other words, are the words I'm saying a gift to him? Are they going to help him? Are they going to encourage him? Are they going to cut him down to little bits like he deserves to be? So our speech must first give grace to the hearer. It might give help to the hearer. It must show the power of God and not the power of Rob. It's not my rights I'm here to defend. It's Jesus' rights, right? So it says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. In other words, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, but you can surely salt the oats, right? So if we take the right approach and if we take the right timing, we can learn that we might need to prepare the way for the words that we really want to say so that they can truly bring grace to the hearer. Right? If I came up to each and every one of you and I gave you what I think that you need to be doing right now, and I told you what I think you need to be doing, you'd probably get mad at me. Right? But I've been here for a little over, well, I don't know, maybe a little over 2 years. I don't know. Doesn't matter. Been here for a while. And as I've couched and prayed and sought the Lord's guidance and messages, each one of you has been given a little more time. Hopefully you've been given a little more grace. And one of these days I'm going to come up to you and I'm going to say, here's what I think the Lord might have you do. Now, granted, I am not the Holy Spirit. But I am sometimes the one that God has chosen to place something in front of you. And then so I'm going to have to make sure that it's seasoned with salt. In other words, I have to make sure that it's going to preserve you. Not just give you a gift, but it's also going to keep you healthy and strong in the Lord. If I came up to Jake right now, and I can pick on Jake because Jake knows me and he knows I'm not going to hurt him. But if I come up to Jake and says, Jake, God has called you to the mission field. I need you and your wife to sell everything, and I need you to go to Nepal. And I need you to help the Sumars there. He would go, no way!
I wouldn't yell, though.
Oh, I You might have a few other things to say, right? But if that is, if, and I'm not saying that's what the Lord has told me, by the way. Okay. So, but if in time I'm sensing that, then I need to be preparing the way. You know, I might need to say, Jake, you know, you've got some great talents. You need to start exercising those talents here at home. So he begins to exercise leadership skills. He needs to exercise teaching skills. And then he finally begins to be comfortable. No, that's not what I'm doing. I'm not trying to get you to go to Nepal. Okay? But it's moving him in that direction, seasoned with salt. We're trying to preserve this relationship and keep it growing. We're continuing to give grace as we go along. Right? And that's what the tongue is supposed to be used for. As your pastor, that's what I'm trying to do. I could go up to a lot of you and say, why aren't you doing this? How come you're not doing this? You should, and you'd get mad at me and out the door you'd go. You turn off the Lord and say, God doesn't love me. That pastor's arrogant and ignorant, and I don't want nothing to do with him. Because my speech has not been an effort to give you a gift. And my speech has not been seasoned with salt. I haven't prepared you for the message of God. And so now let's turn it and let's put it in your mouth. And the jobs that you have to encourage and strengthen each other in the Lord as a church family. The job that you have to encourage and strengthen your family members, your neighbors. I have a few neighbors. I'd like to tell them what I think, but that wouldn't give them any grace. And it surely wouldn't, it might be a little salty when I said it, but you know, it wouldn't cause them to want to change. And so I have to forbear. You see, we need to let our speech be with grace and seasoned with salt. And how does that passage come again? That you may know how you ought to answer every man. You know, so often we come into a situation and we just blurt out the first answer that comes to our mind. And here what God is saying is that if you're not able to give the person a gift, if you're not able to make them want to hear what you're going to say, what was that phrase again? Lost the thought. Then you don't know how to answer them. We need to think about it. Especially the unsaved. You know, there are times where preachers get up here and they preach hell and damnation, and people responded. People responded positively to hell and damnation. And then there's times where preachers come and they talk about grace and people respond to grace, but they wouldn't respond to hell and damnation. You see, there is a time for everything, and the whole goal is that what is it going to take for you to move those people you're speaking to in the right direction towards Christ-likeness? Are you monitoring your words? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to direct your paths with the words that you say and the timings of what you say? I am not talking about your intelligence and your ability to analyze a situation and set up a project and a plan on how this is going to happen. I'm talking about you as someone who has been born again by the Spirit of God and who has the Spirit of God placed within you, depending upon Him to, in a moment, in an instant, having the right words for the right situation at the right time for the right person. That's a lot of things to be right on, don't you think?
Yeah.
And so if we're not relying on the Holy Spirit, if we're not asking the Spirit, how do we know? How do you know? Today, are you certain that the Spirit of God is dwelling in you? Or do you have the Spirit of God confused with the way you think? They're two different worlds. One is the abiding presence of God that I cannot explain. He's the one that reveals things, and He'll reveal timing, He'll reveal words, He'll reveal manners in which you need to present these things in miraculous ways that you can't think of. They can happen on a moment. Because God is in control. But my friends, we've got to stop controlling ourselves by the flesh, by the mind, will, and emotions. We need to allow those things to be steeped and saturated with the Spirit of God. Allow the Spirit of God to turn up the heat on you and make you into a sweet savor that people really want to drink of through your words. The Spirit of God. Do you have the Spirit of God in you? Have you been born again? That means you didn't have the Spirit of God in you, and you know that there was a time where you, the Spirit of God came and He began to live in you. That's the Spirit of God. That's what we need to control our tongues. That's what we need to be successful in the battle. That's how we know the battle is the Lord's, because He begins to take control of our tongues. He begins to use our tongues as His weapons to help other people. But are we willing to yield to that still small voice? Are you still waiting for the booming voice of Rob to tell you what to do? And when to do it? And how to do it? And what words to say? That's the Holy Spirit's job. Not Rob's job. Not Carol's job. Not Bonnie's job. Not my wife's job. It's the Spirit of God's job. And we need to wrestle with that. We need to battle and put this flesh aside. And allow the Spirit of God to well up within us and give us those very great words. I'd like to close with this prayer. I'd like you to join me as I say it. And I want you to think about the words. And it goes like this. Lord, I need your help. The winds of this world are blowing hard against me. They're trying to blow me off course. They're trying to keep me from latching onto you. Oh, Spirit of God, may you blow me into the arms of Jesus. May you help me stay on course and follow through with the commitments you are calling me to embrace here today in regards to the tongue, in regards to my speech, in regards to my efforts. Oh, Spirit of God, keep my breath from spewing spite, hatred, and selfishness. May your breath cause words of encouragement and love to flow from my mouth and fill the hearts of others. Father, all of this can only be done as your Spirit takes control because of the precious work of Jesus Christ, my Savior. Amen. I'd invite you to stand as we sing. I'd like you to sit. I'd like you to think about this message as Jossie plays some special music. I wanted to meditate, to permeate, to steep into your hearts. And then we're going to have an invitation, and you can take action as the Lord leads.